Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Yo, yo. Welcome to a post-game edition of the Forum Club. I am your co-host, Jovan Buha, the Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. And I do not know where to begin with this one. After a perfect 3-0 start to this seven-game road trip, the Lakers have dropped two games in a row, capped by a 15-point loss, 107-92, to the Detroit Pistons, a 5-14 team, one of the worst teams in basketball. Now, the Lakers were shorthanded, it must be noted. There was no Anthony Davis. He has a right quad contusion, which he suffered in the first end, or the front end, rather, of the back-to-back against Philadelphia in the first quarter. So AD ended up sitting out. This is his third missed game of the season, and coincidentally, all three games have come on one end of the Lakers back-to-backs this season. So AD has played in only one of the four back-to-backs, or rather one full back-to-back out of the four. Pre-game, Frank Vogel said that is not a trend. It is not something that the Lakers are purposely doing. It's just a coincidence. So as of right now, there is no set plan for AD to always miss one end of a back-to-back, for those wondering. But as far as the game, this was really a disaster from the start. The Lakers were outscored in three of the four quarters. They had the quick start. LeBron had 12 early points. Had 14 in the first quarter, 17 in the first half, and only ended up with 22. And after starting 6-for-6 from the floor, finished 8-of-19, so went 2-for-13 the rest of the way. Kyle Kuzma, who got the start for Anthony Davis, had 22 points and 10 rebounds. LeBron also had 7 rebounds and 10 assists. Outside of that, THT had some nice minutes, 13 points in 14 minutes. Dennis Schroeder had 10 points, 4 assists, I believe through two quarters or through three, had a quiet fourth. But otherwise, this was a disaster. The Lakers shot 41% from the floor, did make 12 of 28 threes, but only 8 of 12 free throws. And I think you felt AD's absence in the foul drawing, where LeBron only took 3 free throws. They missed AD's 6 to 8 to 9 free throws a night that you can kind of count on from him. And the bench was a no-show. The bench, despite this game being over with a few minutes left and Frank Vogel turning to the bench, they only scored 19. They scored 32 points, but some of that wasn't in the garbage time over the last few minutes. Like, it was a very quiet bench performance. From the Pistons side, they had two guys reached 20 points. Blake Griffin had his best game of the season, 23.6 assists. Jeremy Grant, 14.6 assists. Wayne Ellington had 20 points and hit 6 threes. Blake hit 5. So the Pistons ended up hitting 14 threes. you know, this was such a weird game, you know, because it was one of those games where, and the Lakers have had several of them, where they kind of play down to the competition. They're hanging around the first three and a half quarters, and then the Lakers just turn it on in the fourth and win that game. This was one of those games where it backfired, and it easily could have backfired earlier in the season against San Antonio, against Memphis, against Cleveland, but it ended up backfiring against Detroit. And, you know, the now part of it was the margin for error without AD is slimmer, right? Like, and you know, Kuz stepped up, THT stepped up. But aside from that, you know, Marc Gasol, 0 points, 0 for 2 shooting. KCP, another quiet night, 6 points, 3 for 7 shooting. Trez had only 8 points in 23 minutes. Markieff Morris went 0 for 3. Alex Caruso, just 6 points in 20 minutes. Wes Matthews, 1 for 5 shooting, 3 points. So really, like, everybody else laid a dud. I don't want to harp on this loss too much. We'll say, you know, the Lakers only scored 14 points in the fourth quarter, which to me is just an utter embarrassment. Like, regardless, if one of LeBron or AD is out there, you should be scoring more than 14 points in a quarter, especially against a team at the caliber that Detroit is, right? Like, if this was, say, you know, the Sixers and it was flipped where they had just played Detroit and now they're in Philly, okay, a 15-point loss, second night of a back-to-back, no AD, like, that's totally fine to say Philly. But to lose to Detroit like this, and really to have the game, I mean, I'm going through the play-by-play right now. It was a 4-point game with 7 minutes left. It was still a 5-point game with 5 minutes left. So, you know, this one really got out of hand from the 5:20 mark to the 2:30 mark. In less than 3 minutes, the Pistons extended the lead from 5 to 15, just completely obliterated. Well, really, it was even earlier because the Lakers had it within one at the 8:40 mark. So the Pistons actually went on a 16-0 run to take a 104-87 lead with 2 minutes left. So I mean, the Lakers just didn't score basically from the 8:40 mark of the fourth quarter until the 150 mark of the fourth quarter. So that right there is almost 7 straight minutes without a point. You know, that no free throws, no threes, nothing. So I would just say that this was the second night of a back-to-back, no AD. Clearly the Lakers were tired. I felt that they clearly had tired legs in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter. They were not attentive. You know, they were not playing their best basketball, especially defensively. Just a lot of breakdowns, a lot of miscues, a lot of open shots for Detroit. So while I'm not going to put this all on no AD, second night of a back-to-back, playing down to the level of the opponent, I do think those three factors are the primary reasons they lost. And I'm not going to overreact because we're going to get to it right now in the Q&A section. Like, there's a bunch of overreacting going on after this loss. It is the worst loss of the season. It is inexcusable to an extent. You know, had this happened with AD, of course, it would be even worse. And I think I would have a slightly different tone if AD had played in this game. But, I think it's a bad loss. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I'm not going to deny that. Like, you could look at it from a half or glass half full perspective. You know, I'm not going to necessarily say that, but I just think sometimes you have clunkers, you know, in an 82 game season, or in this case, a 72 game season. This is one of those clunkers. And, you know, I think it does potentially change the tone and perspective on the trip, depending on how the next two games go, because the next two games are Boston and Atlanta. And it's very realistic that the Lakers end up splitting those two. You know, there's a chance they could go 0-2 in those two. Now, I would guess that they split, if not sweep those two, and end the trip on a high note, probably 5-2, which was my projected record heading into this. But I did not expect one of the 7 losses to be Detroit. Now, I did say in my preview on The Athletic that this, to me, was a trap game. I did a preview for the road trip. I had one question for each game on the road trip, and my question for the Detroit game was, can you smell the trap in the air? And I just felt coming off of the high of a Sixers game that the Lakers clearly got up for. I mean, it wasn't their best effort, but especially in that fourth quarter, it had a playoff-like atmosphere with both teams, you know, really firing on all cylinders and you know, playing their best players heavy minutes. You know, like coming off of that and that letdown of losing going into this game, you know, the Lakers just didn't have their normal juice. And again, you know, this isn't to make excuses, but I think it's just trying to look at it from an objective manner. You know, so I don't think there is any massive takeaway that you can have from this game. Like, you know, I thought THT looked good. I thought Kuz once again stepped up as a starter, and you know, he was technically playing not in his hometown, but basically in his hometown in Detroit. You know, he's from Flint, Michigan. So his mom is in attendance. He talked about how important that was post game. So I think from a macro bird's eye view of this game and just sort of where the Lakers are, I don't read too much into this. Like I read much more into the Philly loss and some of the issues from that game in terms of defending Joel Embiid, their rotations out of double teams, the inability to stop a guy like Tobias Harris at several points in that game, the ability to stop Ben Simmons in transition. Like some of those things I find more concerning. This was one of the worst teams in the league getting hot at home, having, you know, one of their better games of the season and beating an AD-less Lakers team. So that's it for this. I'm done with the game, aside from any questions that people have. But I will say, for those who did not see it on Twitter, we are trying to name this stats portion of the show where I go over the box score, go over certain things I found interesting from the game. So if you have any suggestions, please make sure to reach out to me on Twitter, at Jovan Buha. That's at JOVANBUHA. Let me know if you have a idea for to name this segment. So now let's transition over to our open forum segment, which is our Q&A. And let's see. So yeah, this should be interesting. I got a lot of 2020 City of Champs. It's just January. It's just January. It's just January a bunch of times. Danny Cohan, friend of the pod. Question: the Clippers have a better record than the Lakers since the Jovan trade. What gives? Well, Danny, that's we're not gonna answer that question. We're gonna leave that one there. It's a slightly better record. I had no part in them losing to the Pistons, so I'm going to reject that premise. I am not going to accept any of that blame. This had nothing to do with me. Ethan Markowitz at evmarco24. Another friend of the pod. How close should we move to the panic button? Not close at all. I do think that losing to the Celtics in like a blowout would maybe, I wouldn't say panic, but it would be a little concerning of, you know, the Lakers are now coming off of back-to-back losses and aren't coming out with an urgency in that Boston game. So I would say if they get blown out by Boston, you can start to sound the alarm a little bit, or just have a little bit of concern, right? Like I think it's a green light turning yellow. But aside from that, if they lose a close one or they win the game, like I think it just kind of resets to, this team is still figuring itself out. It has a lot of moving pieces. It had the shortest offseason in NBA history, and it's trying to implement some high usage guys offensively and some you know, older guys and different kind of fitting guys defensively, right? Like, you know, Wes and Mark are, you know, in their mid 30s. Trez is a smaller five, and you know, Dennis I think has fit in well defensively, but I just think, you know, they're still figuring out some of these pieces, and they've still been really good. You know, they're now third in the West at 14-6, but I'm not close to panicking. Aaron Lebhan at Barnes 12. If Lakers lose to Boston, would you waver with their title favoritism? That would put them 6-6 versus teams over 500. The Nets, Clippers, and Jazz have a better record versus winning teams right now. No. I think, again, as long as this team is healthy, I think they're the favorites. Now, you know, we will see what happens in Brooklyn in terms of can they add a JaVale McGee or a center on the buyout market or in the trade market? What do the Clippers do? Do they make another move? Jazz, I'm not buying at that level. Do the Bucks do something? Do the Celtics do something? Do the Sixers do something? I think out West, it's just the Clippers as a threat to beat the Lakers. But in the East, I think there are multiple threats. Do the Heat do something? They've been struggling. Like, I want to see what those teams do at the trade deadline, post-trade deadline with the buyout market. If one of those teams makes a major or even minor move that improves them, that could change my perspective on this. But as of right now, with the way they're constructed, at full strength health, I would pick the Lakers over any team in the league right now in a playoff series. Now, again, that can change. We'll see. If the Lakers end up the sixth seed and didn't have a major injury, didn't really have any major COVID situations, then okay, I'll reevaluate, because I think if they end up as a sixth seed, then there's something there, right? Like, I'm not just gonna blindly pick them. But they were the one seed 2 days ago. They've now dropped 1, 2 to 3. But I don't expect them to drop any further, and I actually expect them to bounce back. So I get where some of the concern is coming from, but I just think this is overblown. It's premature. And some of this concern is even coming after wins. And I get that it has not been the sexiest start to the season. There has been a lot of ugliness at times. But again, think back on some of the championship teams we've seen in their second season. There is sometimes a bit of a malaise, a bit of coasting into the season. And then you factor in that they had the shortest offseason in NBA history, less than 8 weeks. And it makes sense. And of course, it wasn't every Laker player, but for most of the rotation, they had less than 8 weeks to unwind from the season, spend time with their family, and then start to ramp back up for basketball activities. So, I don't think we can use that excuse for, 3 months from now, but it does make sense to me why the first 15 to 20 games have been a little shaky. And even with them being shaky, this team is 14-6 through 20 games. They're still clearly a top 3 or 4 team at worst in the league, but I still think they're the best, and I would not be concerned. I got some questions here about Vogel's rotations. I do think they've been a little interesting lately. He has been riding Trez in second halves in moments that I would not ride Trez. He's clearly been tinkering with the Caruso, THT, Matthews, KCP, Schroeder minutes. Like, those five guys have kind of been in different variations recently. So I do think a positive that will come from that is, hopefully him getting a better sense of clarity with that part of the rotation and, what he wants to do with that. Again, it's clear Alex Caruso should be playing more. When THT, you kind of know if it's a THT game or not based on his first 3 minutes. When it's a THT game, he should be playing more. When it's not, then maybe you give him the quick hook, 5 to 8 minutes. But when he's playing well, 10, 12, 15 minutes, he deserves it. Let's see. Ivan, the Laker, how does the team's chemistry look on and off the court? I think it looks good. I think there's been some frustration in recent games, but, nothing concerning. Three questions here. Are we too deep for our own good? Yes and no. I think in the regular season, it's an asset. It helps you eat innings. LeBron and AD have been able to play fewer minutes, take fewer shots, and not carry the same burden that they've carried in recent seasons. So from that perspective, I think that's a positive. Now, some of this experimentation that we've seen that hasn't quite worked, that is in part because of how deep they are and because Frank is trying to figure out the correct rotations and lineups and patterns for each game. So because of that, I think, there has been some lack of consistency in terms of certain lineups and rotations and whatnot. I think it could be a little bit of an issue come playoff time, depending on who's expecting to play versus who's actually going to be playing. Because the Lakers are not going to roll with an 11-man or 10.5-man rotation come playoff time, right? Like, it's going to be eight and a half, you know, maybe nine through the first round and a half. And then by that kind of midpoint of the conference semifinals, it's going back down to like eight and a half. Now, of course, depending on who they're playing, they could be, you know, routing those teams and sweeping them, and or gentlemen sweeping them. And, you know, you're playing more guys in those scenarios. But I think for the most part, your Lakers are going to go eight and a half deep come playoff time. So I think it's more of a longer term concern. But at the same time, I think everybody knows, like, if I'm THT, I'm not expecting currently to be playing in the playoffs. You know, I think where that line gets interesting is the Matthews, Caruso, Keefe, because I do expect, as this team is constructed, it's the starting five, it's Trez, it's Kyle Kuzma, like those seven are pretty safe. Then beyond that, you know, Keefe, Caruso, Matthews, THT, those four can probably fluctuate depending on the matchup, depending on the opponent. Though I would say Caruso should be one of the locks. And frankly, you know, again, I'd put him over Kuz, and I'd put him over Trez too. Like, I think Caruso, up to this point in the season, has been their best bench player and most consistent. And it's not always a scoring, right? Because that's not really what the Lakers ask him to do. But in terms of defense, in terms of energy, the intangibles, the little things that he does, you know, again, he flipped that Philly game almost single-handedly. Like, he didn't make every shot, he didn't score all the points, but offensive rebounds, steals, you know, attacking the rim, you know, taking quick threes when open, being assertive, like, he does those things. So there's a lot of value in that. And, you know, I don't have to sell Laker fans on Alex Caruso playing more, but I am with Laker fans in that should be the case. From Blake at B_Pax_, how do you see the rest of the road trip going and the first game back at home against Denver? I'm going to say now, I think the Lakers end up winning the next two games. Now, I hope I don't jinx them and you guys throw this back in my face, but I do think they're going to get up for the Boston game. I think with the taste in their mouth of losing a close competitive game to Philly, and then also having this Detroit loss on their minds, like, I think they're going to come out and try to send a message in Boston. Now, Boston's a good team. They're certainly capable of winning on Saturday, and it's a Lakers-Celtics game, so, you know, both sides, you know, despite it being different players and you know, really just kind of being a battle of jerseys, you know, you know both sides will get up for that game, especially when they're both good at the same time. So I do expect that to be a competitive game, but I do expect the Lakers to be up for that game. And then in Atlanta, closing out the trip, I think at that point you're 4-2. You know, Atlanta is better than last season, but I think the Lakers have also seen some reps against Steph Curry and Dame Lillard, you know, guys who are the predecessors for Trae Young. So they have some reps going up against that type of player. And I think that's going to make them, you know, better equipped to defend Trey and slow him down. And he's also kind of been struggling to start the season. Harrison Fagan at HM Fagan. Why do the Lakers suck now? You know, that is a great question, Harrison. Things are clearly headed toward a rebuild around Alex Caruso and THT. I think the Lakers should just tear it down and build around those two. I think that is a winning formula. Now, I mean, I know he's joking, but the Lakers are going to be fine. And I mean, I got so many questions about why didn't this guy come in? Why didn't this guy come in? I think, again, it's just, you know, Frank has some patterns with the rotation, but for the most part, there is some experimentation. So I wouldn't, you know, read too much into that yet. at 17 rings, LeBron for Beal, who says no? The Lakers say no. Come on. And on that note, please, Laker fans, listen to this. Relax, take a deep breath. Things are going to be fine. This is the ups and downs of the repeat year. Relax. It's okay. The Lakers are still really, really good. They have a really, really good record. And they're going to, I think, close the road trip out well. And, you know, we'll be having this conversation after the Atlanta game. And I think you guys will be feeling better. If not, then I'll be, I don't know. You know, we'll see. We'll see how the next two games play out, but I'm not concerned yet. Even if they lose the next two games, I would not be that concerned. So just relax. It's going to be okay. As always, thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jovan Buha. That's at JOVANBUHA. If you ever have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on social or reach out to me on The Athletic in the comment section. If you have not subscribed, I don't know what you're doing, but there's always different promos and deals going on. You can subscribe off of one of my articles. That will help me out. I would appreciate that. Or you could subscribe off of the podcast. So be sure to do that. And I'll be back post-game Boston to talk to you about that game. Talk to you guys then.